And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch. And this is Friday. And of course, on Fridays, Joe Barner is in with us.
Well, good morning.
Good morning to you, Joe.
How are you today?
Well, I think I'm going to make it. What about
that
you?
That frog is trying to take over.
I tell you what,
again.
You need to let that frog come on out. Oh, man. I tell you what, it has been so hot. And I know, of course, I think heat index value even today at 106, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they didn't put it in the forecast today.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you don't know it's hot by now,
then something's the matter, right?
Yeah.
When you walk outside and you start melting, you know it's something going on.
It's above the melting point. Well, when I was editing the forecast, I think by about Tuesday, they said sunny and hot.
Yes.
They didn't say it till then.
Yeah, it's sunny and hot.
And that's 98, but 92's plenty warm.
Yeah, it's warm. But it's nice and cool in here, so that's a plus.
Yes.
We like it. Oh, man. Where are we going today, Joe?
Well, we're going to be in a number of different psalms. We were to start out the psalm that we were assigned by the text was Psalm 105. But I'm going to back up, and we're going to start at Psalm 103.
Okay.
It's just too good not to cover this morning.
All right, all right.
To praise the Lord and not forget all his benefits.
Amen.
We're thankful for air conditioning this morning.
Amen, amen, and amen. You might even get a hallelujah out of that one, because it's worth it. Oh, man. But, hey, I want to mention something real quick. I know we don't mention it a lot. We've been mentioning it throughout the days. But the front porch is now, we have a podcast of the front porch.
Yeah.
Joe. And Joe, it's available on our website, missionary.radio.
All the way back into February or so.
Mm-hmm. So you can go back and listen to ones maybe you didn't get a chance to listen to, or maybe you had a favorite one. You just want to go back and reference something that was talked about. But it's there. Just go to podcast, click on podcast at the top of the page between listen now and donate, and you'll see a rocking chair pop up. And once the rocking chair pops up, click on that, and then you'll have all the past front porches for the last few months.
For many years, we sent out CDs, and that just, the postage went up.
Oh, it's outrageous.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. So that's the reason why we're doing that now, and it's just so easy to do. Just click on it, and it's right there ready to go for you to listen to. Once again, that's at missionary.radio.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Psalm 91:14, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." A professor from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, was preaching in Nevada. The normally reserved professor put his whole heart into the sermon and called for the people in the congregation to repent and get their hearts right with God. At the end of his message, he declared, "You need to repent and turn from your sin. So, Buster, if you're here and your heart is not right, come down to this altar now." The invitation was given, and the professor joined the pastor of the church at the altar. Before the invitation ended, a young boy came down to the altar, looked directly at the professor, and said, "My name is Buster, and I want to get my heart right." What about you? I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Every time I turn it on, it really inspires me to keep moving forward, knowing that God loves me.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Welcome you back to the front porch on this Friday.
I was sitting here thinking about Ken's today in 60. And the times in my life when it felt like the preacher had been reading my mail.
Oh,
reading
yeah.
My email.
Oh, yeah.
But it was the Lord using that and the Holy Spirit speaking directly to my heart.
Yeah, and you're sitting here thinking, man, how did he find out about that?
I wish I had worn my steel-toed boots this morning.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the same way. I tell my pastor sometimes, well, you stepped all over my toes today. Thanks. I appreciate that. But, yeah, well, we need that, though, Joe. We need it.
Yes, we do.
We need it, yeah.
And the Holy Spirit is faithful to do that to us.
Yes, he is. Yes.
Well, we're backing up from Psalm 105. We'll get there eventually. But to Psalm 103, one of my favorite psalms, maybe one of yours as well. It's a psalm that David used to give himself a spiritual pep talk, saying, "Oh, my soul, praise him." Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 103.
"Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits."
It was as if David looked at his soul and understood that it was not praising God enough.
Mm-hmm.
He called upon his soul to do more. Yeah, he realized he was not praising God with all his inmost being. And so he called upon his soul. Soul, praise God more passionately because Amen. God is worthy.
Amen. That's right.
And if we read between the lines, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes our worship may be superficial.
Very true.
Too often, confession time now, I praise God half-heartedly or less.
Yeah. Yep.
Too often, my mind and my heart are not totally engaged in praising God.
Mm-hmm.
We might be there physically, and that's important.
Yeah.
But all that is within us is not quite locked in and focused on the Lord.
That's right.
And that's what David is calling us to and calling his soul to do in Psalm 103. Verse 2 instructs us to remember all that God does for us. Mm-hmm. To not forget all his benefits. Really, that's the theme of Psalms 103 through 106, all the psalms that we'll be touching on this morning, to enumerate many of the benefits that God has given to us, to ponder what God does for we, his people. David starts in verses 3 through 5 with five big blessings that God gives us for which we should passionately praise him.
"Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles?"
The first benefit listed is perhaps the greatest blessing, because he forgives all of our sins.
Amen.
Not just some of them, Brian, but all of them.
All of them, yeah.
And that's a staggering reason to praise God. As great and numerous as our sins are against God,
yeah,
he promises to forgive our sins when we confess them to him. Mm-hmm. Jesus paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future, on the cross. A little boy named Bobby had just been tucked into bed by his mother, who was waiting to hear his prayers. But he had been naughty that day, and now it was bothering him. And so he said, "Mama, I wish you'd go now and leave me alone. I want to pray by myself." Sensing that something was wrong, she asked, "Bobby, is there anything you ought to tell me?" "No, Mommy," he replied. "You would just scold me. But God will forgive me and forget about it."
Amen. That's right.
That little boy understood one of the greatest benefits of salvation.
Amen.
The reality of sins forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
A second benefit is God's care for our bodies. You know, when we are healed, whether it is instantaneously, when God performs a miracle of healing, I've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes we're healed more gradually, however, as we recover and regain our strength, we realize it's a working of our Heavenly Father.
Absolutely.
James Merritt shares this brief teaching: on the one hand, all healing is from God. There is a saying that the doctor treats, but God heals.
Amen.
All the doctors, drugs, and hospitals in the world cannot heal a common cold without the help of the great physician.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging on the wall of one doctor's office was this quip: "God does the healing, I charge the fee."
There you go. That's true. That's true.
Dr. James Boyce, one of our preachers here on Missionary Radio, I believe you hear him Sunday evenings at 7:30, he said, "I believe David is saying that when we are healed, as we often are, it is God who has done it." He is the healer of the body as well as of the soul. And therefore, such health as we have been given is a sure gift from God, and God should be praised for it.
Amen.
We believe that God is our healer if it is in His will and His plan for us. And when it's not, because none of us live forever, as His people, however, we are assured of what some call the ultimate healing, of being eternally in His presence where there are no more tears, no more sickness, and no more death. A third benefit we should praise God for is that He redeems our lives from the pit, from destruction. What do you think that means, Brian?
Saves us from the pit of destruction?
Yeah.
Keeps us from going to hell.
Yeah, God not only rescues us from hell when we're saved, but God can also rescue us from the sinful lifestyle we led before trusting in Christ to give us the power to walk in a new way.
Yes.
He can rescue us from those BC days before Christ.
Oh, yes.
And that blessing may also involve God's protection, that He keeps us from many calamities that might come our way. A fourth benefit God gives us is that He crowns us with His love and compassion. We'll look at that blessing in a little bit greater depth in verses 8 and 9, which we'll get to in a moment. But first, consider that last statement in verse 5, that the Lord satisfies our mouths with good things. We're thankful for wives and mothers that were excellent cooks that satisfy our mouths with good things. But this is going a little bit deeper. True satisfaction and fulfillment in life is only found in a relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
No wonder the Rolling Stones couldn't get no satisfaction.
There you go.
Because they were looking in the wrong place.
That's right. They
might have got a lot of money from that song.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't get no satisfaction.
No satisfaction. Nope.
And that's only found in God, true satisfaction. It becomes our source of energy and strength to His people so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Verses 8 through 10 of Psalm 103 enlarge on the Lord's love and compassion for us.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities.
Aren't you glad the Lord is compassionate and gracious with us?
Amen.
Aren't you grateful He's slow to get angry with us when we fall on our faces?
Yeah.
When we stray from Him like sheep stray from their shepherd?
Yeah.
When we are prone to wander over and over, God is slow to get angry. He's compassionate and gracious. And while God's Spirit is faithful to convict us of sin, we talked about that a few moments ago when the Spirit steps on our toes.
Oh, yes.
It's not the preacher. It's the Spirit of God.
Amen.
But God does not strive constantly with us. He does not constantly nag or accuse us. He does not nurse His grievances with us. David, the writer of Psalm 103, think about David's life. He knew quite well the slow anger and the abounding mercy of God personally. He knew that God does not treat us as our sins deserve. Charles Spurgeon, a pastor in the mid-1800s in London, sometimes called the Prince of Preachers. You need to read some Charles Spurgeon.
Okay.
He said, in pondering this verse, he said, "Why is it that God hath not dealt with us after the manner of our sins? Is it not because He hath dealt with another after our sins, another who took our sins upon Him?" He's pointing us to Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for bearing our sins, for paying the price.
Yes.
that we could not pay.
Amen.
Jesus bore our sins, and that's why God is slow to anger.
Amen.
He's compassionate and gracious with us.
Wonderful to know.
We'll look some more at Psalm 103 after we hear from some of our listening family on Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Woodline, "I love Missionary Radio and the wonderful work all of you do for all of us to enjoy God's Word and music. May God bless you." From Clarksville, "Dear friends at Missionary Radio, may you keep being a blessing to so many near and far. May God bless you all abundantly as you continue in the amazing mission. Thank you for being consistent." From Katie's, "Missionary Radio has been a true blessing, and I thank each of you for being a part of that. God bless you all."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our Testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
We're in Psalm 103, and that's exactly where that song comes from.
Yeah.
Verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 103 remind us of God's amazing love and grace and of His complete forgiveness.
"For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us."
Now, casting crowns added from one scarred hand
to the other,
pointing us to Jesus. That's the reason He can remove our transgressions from us. One of the writers of Our Daily Bread said that God's forgiveness works much like that old toy from years ago, and you probably experienced Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a feature on the History Channel of the fellow who invented Etch-a-Sketch.
Okay.
And he didn't have the money to get a patent on it.
Okay.
And so this guy says, "Oh, we'll front you the money for the patent."
Uh-huh.
And of course, they filed it under their name, and the actual inventor got very little.
Well, that's the way it goes
from
sometimes.
His invention. But did you ever have any success drawing? Are you artistic on an Etch-a-Sketch?
I am not artistic at all. Now, I mean, if you give me a piece of furniture or something like that, yeah, I can redo it and paint it or stain it or whatever and make it look good. But as far as arts and crafts, no. I know we just had vacation Bible school, and I was in there trying to help my wife on some things. And I told her, I said, some of this stuff I might be able to do, but this is not my niche. So.
Yeah, well, the Etch-a-Sketch, as I remember, it had,
you had
two little knobs, one on each side.
Uh-huh.
And when you messed it up, as I always did, it was nothing recognizable. Or
you just slide it, didn't you?
You turn it upside down and shake it.
Oh, you turn it upside down. Okay, that's right.
And you could start all over again with a clean slate.
Yeah.
Now, Brian, how does that match in with God's forgiveness of us?
Well, just like, you know, if we sin, He's right there to forgive us for our sin, and we start all over again.
Yeah, when we confess our sins to our compassionate and forgiving God, we get a new start. We can be rid of guilt and shame because God has removed our sins an infinite distance from us, as far as the east is from the west.
And that's a long way.
Well, you can't define that distance.
Mm-mm, can't define it.
We'll never be condemned for our sins. Mm-hmm. Romans 8, verse 1 declares that there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And as our Creator, our God is well aware of our weakness and frailty. He looks on us as a loving father looks on his children with eyes of compassion. Mm-hmm. That's what verses 13 and 14 of Psalm 103 tell us. Are you loving that psalm yet?
Oh, yeah, I like it. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
He knows us because he created us.
Mm-hmm.
He designed us. We are made in God's image.
That's right.
And think about this. When Jesus took on human flesh, he experienced what it was like to walk in our shoes.
Yes.
As one writer put it, what before he knew by observation, he submitted to know by experience. So that's Psalm 103. And as we move into Psalm 104, mm-hmm. we find the overall theme is that we should praise God for his work in creation. Verses 1 through 5 gives us an example.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O the Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angel spirits his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever.
And Psalm 104 continues that description of God's mighty hand in creation. And as David looked at creation, he again addressed his soul,
mm-hmm.
praise the Lord, my soul, and then spoke of the greatness of God in Psalm 104. In Psalm 105, David speaks as a worship leader. He's calling the people of Israel to worship the Lord for his choosing and establishing Israel as his special people. He fulfilled his promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing songs to him. Psalms, that is. Talk to all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, your children of Jacob, his chosen ones.
You know, Rachel and I were seeing some news last night about these nations and about some people in our nation expressing their hatred for Israel, for God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of talked a little while about why do people hate Israel so much?
Yeah,
you know, they are not the ones that initiated that Hamas and Hezbollah atrocities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They are not the savages. They're just defending themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think there's a spiritual aspect of it as well as people. Oppose God, they also oppose his people.
That's right.
Because they have rejected God.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 105 is one of several historical psalms. And in that psalm, we see the hand of God upon many of the events of Israel's history. I found that interesting. I enjoy reading history.
Yeah.
And we also saw that truth in the founding of our own nation, mm-hmm. the United States. And I remembered a quote from Ben Franklin.
Okay.
This was during the Constitutional Convention of 1787. There was a lot of division as those founders of our nation got ready to write our Constitution that we are governed by. And Ben Franklin, not known as a staunch believer, but I believe he was a follower of God, mm-hmm. called for an end to the arguing and urged his fellows to turn to God in prayer with these words. I remember this quote. Well, I didn't really remember it, but I looked it up.
There you go.
Enough of it to look it up. Mm-hmm. He said, "I've lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. Mm-hmm. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice," Jesus said he does notice, "is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? Mm-hmm. We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. I firmly believe this," Ben Franklin said, "and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. We shall be divided by our own little partial local interest. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword to future ages." Now, I remember growing up the little Ben Franklin five and dime stores.
I've heard of them.
It's probably before your time,
before
Brian.
My time, but I have heard of them.
But Ben Franklin did some more important things.
Yeah.
And in this case, he was used by God to call the founders of our nation to prayer. And with God's help, they came to an agreement on our Constitution. Well, we're looking in Psalm 105 at an even greater truth that God's work, God's hand was at work in the founding of the nation of Israel. We'll see some things that verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 105 tells us to respond, but we'll do that after Johnny Erickson Tada sharing hope here on Missionary Radio.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada sharing hope. Listen to her heart now.
Let me tell you about my friend Nancy, who's a wonderful advocate for people with disabilities. And she was telling me how the elders at her church were planning to add an extension to the church building. And so, Nancy reminded them to be sure that the new extension would be accessible for people in wheelchairs. She knows all about the Americans with Disabilities Act and how important it is to eliminate barriers in buildings that serve the public. Well, of course, when Nancy learned that the church extension would be a two-story building, she suggested that the elders include an elevator in their design. Well, they responded that they did not need to make provisions for an elevator because it was not required under the ADA. And you know, they're absolutely right. Churches are not required to provide access because a religious entity has protection under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And that's the Freedom of Religion Amendment. And it prohibits the government from overreaching its boundaries and interfering with churches. And that's a good thing. Requiring churches to alter their buildings under the ADA would be interfering with our religious autonomy. And so the elders at Nancy's church did not think they were required to provide access to the second floor with an elevator. However, when they submitted their plans to the city, they quickly discovered that they were required to provide access according to state building codes. So, the leaders at Nancy's church ended up including an elevator in the building plans, not because it was required by the ADA, which is a federal law, but because of a state law. And it's true. You may not be aware of this, but many state requirements are far more stringent than the Americans with Disabilities Act. But having said all this, I want to give a real big shout out to churches across the country that freely honor ADA codes, even though compliance is not required. Most every church has handicap parking. Most churches provide accessible bathrooms. Some have automatic doors or lightweight doors that are easier to open manually. And lots of churches do have elevators and sign language interpreters. There are even churches that offer large print bulletins and online services for people who have other disability barriers. And they do this even when federal and state codes do not require it. Because these churches understand that if they want to give the gospel to everyone in their community, many of those people in the community will be wheelchair users or will be hard of hearing. They may be elderly people who use walkers, people who cannot climb steps, who use canes or crutches, even young mothers pushing baby strollers. It's why I'm proud of the churches and Christian organizations who follow a higher law than the ADA, and that, of course, is the law of love. And that's such a witness to the community and to the special needs families who live near your church. So thank you for making folks feel welcomed. Tomorrow, on Saturday, is the 35th anniversary of the signing of the ADA. And if you do have questions about access, let us help you put out the welcome sign to Friends with Disabilities. We can do that at johnnyradio.org. Again, there are resources for you at johnnyradio.org. And Nancy, kudos to your church for installing that elevator.
We are so grateful for you, our faithful listeners, who pray, give, and share in the mission of spreading the gospel every single day. Because of your generosity, lives are being touched with the hope of Jesus Christ through Missionary Radio.
But like many ministries, summer giving is significantly down, in some cases by 50%. As a 100% listener-funded ministry, we depend on your support to stay strong. Would you consider helping today?
Give securely at missionary.radio. Use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment Systems or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, Post Office Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky 42241.
Thank you for standing with us. Your support makes it possible to keep sharing the good news on the airways. Together, we're making an eternal difference. We're 100% listener-funded and community-minded. Missionary Radio, in partnership with TWR.
We've already covered Psalm 103, just a little bit of Psalm 104 this morning, and we're continuing to look at Psalm 105 as we see God's hand at work in establishing the nation of Israel. Brian, it might not hurt to go back and read verses 1 through 6 again.
Okay. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, your children of Jacob, his chosen ones.
It never hurts to reread the Word of God, does it?
Never, never, never.
Psalm 105 gives us some imperatives, and they're just getting in to the Lord establishing the nation of Israel. But we are to give thanks to the Lord, to not forget all his benefits.
Amen.
We are to call upon his name, not on the gods and idols of the surrounding nations, but David is calling on the people of Israel and to us, rely only on God. And sing praise to him. Make known God's mighty deeds to the whole earth. Proclaim his deeds among the nations. God called Israel to be a missionary people. We are to tell what he has done. We are to boast, not in ourselves, but we are to glory in his holy name.
Amen.
And seek the Lord, also his strength. Strength will be given to the people of God as they seek him, so seek his face always. Lord, I need your strength today.
Every day.
I'm seeking you. And remember the wondrous works he has done, his wonders and the judgments he has pronounced. Israel got into trouble. We get into trouble when we no longer remember what God has done for us.
Amen.
So we, too, need to remember to not forget or take for granted what God has done. Someone noted that we will always drift to forgetfulness if we do not actively remember. As a nation and as the church, we need to keep the history of God's blessings in our minds and on our lips.
Amen.
So that those who come after us do not forget what God has done either. Verses 7 through 11 of Psalm 105 detail how God chose to establish a special relationship with Abraham and his descendants.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance.
The Lord God, the one true God, chose to make a covenant with this man, Abraham, and his descendants, to make of them a great nation and to bless them in a special way. You know, what was amazing was the faithfulness of God in all this to keep his promises to the people of Israel. Mm-hmm. There was no expiration date on his keeping his covenant with them. And he has proven himself faithful to his word, even when Israel forgot him, when they turned from him, which if you look at the next psalm, Psalm 106, they sure enough did. But as we continue looking at Psalm 105, we see in verses 12 through 15 that he protected the patriarchs as they wandered through the promised land.
When they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do to them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do not do my prophets no harm.
God even protected his people from those surrounding yes. nations. Even Abraham. I was thinking of the time that Abraham... to preserve his own life, ask his wife Sarah to tell them, the surrounding nations, that she was his sister.
Yeah.
Not a smart thing. Husbands never do that.
No, let's don't do that. No.
But God protected Abraham. He protected Sarah through that. And David went on in this psalm, Psalm 105, to recount their history of their nation, how God in his providence... He sent Joseph ahead of them into Egypt to provide for them in a time of worldwide famine. Joseph endured prison and unfair treatment as part of God's preparation to run perhaps the largest food bank in history.
All right.
Joseph was brought low, but in God's timing, he was lifted up.
Amen.
In Egypt, the numbers of the Hebrew people greatly increased. And eventually, however, they became slaves, verses 24 and 25.
He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants.
Now, if you look over in Psalm 106, verse 7, it seems to suggest the reason that the Hebrews became slaves was because they forgot the goodness of the Lord and turned away from him.
Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea.
And then God raised up Moses and Aaron after 400 years to lead the people in the Exodus from Egypt, one of the great acts of God in the Old Testament, probably right up there with creation.
Oh, yeah.
Psalm 105, 26 through 36, Brian, I ask you to read a lengthy passage.
All right, 25 through 26?
Yeah.
Okay, he turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent Moses his servants and Aaron whom he had chosen.
And all the way through 36.
Oh, through 36, I'm sorry. They performed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark. And they did not rebel against his word. He returned their waters into blood and killed their fish. Their land abounded with frogs, even in the chambers of their king. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and lice in all their territory. He gave them hail for rain and flame fire in their land. He struck their vines also and their fig trees and splintered the trees of their territory. He spoke, and locusts came, young locusts without number, and ate up all the vegetation in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He also destroyed all the firstborn in their land, the first of all their strength.
The Enduring Word commentary was quite interesting in pointing out that the plagues were directed against the gods and the goddesses of Egypt to demonstrate that the God of Israel was superior to the gods of Egypt. When God sent darkness, he showed himself greater than Ra, the sun god, and Nut, the sky goddess. And when God turned their waters into blood, he showed himself greater than Osiris, the god of the Nile, and Khnum, the guardian of the Nile. Brian, if I pronounce these wrongs, let me know.
No, I was laughing on the nut part one. I mean, like, what?
When God made their land abound with frogs, he showed himself greater than the goddess Hekt, the frog goddess of fertility. When God sent swarms of flies and lice, he showed himself greater than the fly god Uatchit. When God sent hail for rain, he showed himself greater than Geb, the god of the earth, Nepri, the goddess of grain, and Anubis, the guardian of the fields. And when God sent locusts without number, he showed himself greater than Shu, the god of the atmosphere, and Min, the deity of the harvest. So by the time the 10th plague came, the death of the firstborn in Egypt, Egypt was glad to get rid of the Israelites, so glad that they gave them much of their silver and gold. David tells that as we continue looking at Psalm 105. But it closes with just this exclamation that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. That was God's purpose in doing all this for the nation of Israel. And David closes with these words, "Praise the Lord." While David's purpose in Psalm 105 is to remind the Israelites of the providence of God in the history of Israel, just as we should see the providence of God in the founding of our nation, it is so that they would keep his precepts and observe his laws. We are to remember, taking us all the way back to Psalm 103 again, God's goodness. And we are to praise him with all of our hearts, to praise him for his great mercy extended to us.
Amen.
Father, help us not to forget all your benefits, but to be careful to enumerate them and call upon our souls to praise you passionately, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly, and to proclaim your greatness among the nations, with our lives and with our lips. We pray we'll do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch on this Friday. And join us all next week at 7 a.m. for The Front Porch.